Am I on? Testing, yeah. I hate these new shirts. There's no place to put my phone. Yeah. Wasn't that good? It's really good. I really like all of it, actually. But the one part, like, when you're reading the Word, take time to ask God, what are you trying to tell me today? You know, like meditating. Like, what do you want me to get out of this today? That's really good. And really, like, let's pray. Lord, what do you want us to hear today? That you would show us something, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is more of a, an Easter-type message. And like I tell my kids and everybody, it's like every day is Thanksgiving, every day is Christmas, every day is Easter, you know. So like we celebrate Jesus Christ, right? And we worship that he came as a baby at Christmas, you know, like, but he came to earth for us. Like, we celebrate that today. We celebrate the resurrection today. We're thankful today. And it's not a day in the year that we do it or a season in the year that we do it. And we may have seasons. That's okay. But it's all the time. This is the day the Lord has made. I was thinking of Legia's accident. She was running in the dark from my mother-in-law's house to our house. And she had had an accident in that area before when I dumped some gravel in the driveway and there was a little hill and she didn't know it was there. That's flat now. But anyway, I had put up a little solar light that had the leaves had fallen on it and got really faded. And I guess the light was gone. It wasn't there. You know, we think we know that path, you know, we think we know that path, but also she was carrying a plate and her phone and running in the dark. But so I was just thinking, like, if she were watching, like, what she was doing, watch what you're doing, like, kind of watching, like, what would she have done to prevent that? Like, maybe pay closer attention to the ground, maybe go a little slower, maybe, I don't know, be ready to throw the plate and not worry about the plate and her phone. And like drop and roll or something, I don't know, but like just watching and being aware, right? Paying attention, and like maybe if it's a certain situation to change a little bit, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But this is Matthew 26:36. When Jesus came to them with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Now this is shortly before he's going to go to the cross. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me. I'm like, watch for what? What is he watching for? Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So that's kind of like, if you were to title this message, that would be what it is. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Matthew 26, I'm on verse 40 now. And the flesh, it has a natural capacity, but with spiritual things, it's weak. In order to change our capacity, we have to learn what Jesus said, his word. Like for any given situation, he'll give us a word for that. That's why meditation is so good. In our meditation, God will give us a word, and it'll bless us then, but then later too, we'll have that, and like we'll use it. It's like the sword of the Spirit, right? James 1:13-15, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire. That made me think of Pastor Christian Diaz's message last week. You know, how he was like on fire for God. He saw the holiness of God. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm saved. And he just had that joy of salvation. He's like, I'm not going to sin anymore. And then he found, like, I got this flesh in me. I got this, my own desire keeps getting in the way. And drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15, then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So there is a way to avoid temptation. And this is a way. Watch and pray. And James 1:13, God doesn't tempt anyone. God cannot be tempted of anyone. You can't change God's nature to be like yours. We can't challenge him to agree to anything outside of his holy standards. Like, he is who he is. He is holy. And he has a nature that is holy. And you might privately interpret something and get 100 of your friends to agree with you. But you're not going to change God's nature. And sentimentality cannot change God's nature to be like ours. Like, I've heard this saying, my God, and then they go on to interpret who God should be. My God would never do this. Well, God is God. You're not going to invent him, you know. And my God would not allow so much suffering. I don't have all the answers to that question, but he did allow the fall, right? Somehow, the fact that he gave us free will, and I'm not sure how it works, but he allowed the fall. He allowed it. And we don't invent God, and God's plan is bigger than our little pea brains, than our sentimentality that tries to predetermine what we think God should be like. And God is God. In Matthew 4:3, Satan is the tempter. Satan is the tempter. God allows people sometimes in very limited circumstances, 1 Corinthians 5:5, for people to be delivered over to Satan for a lesson. I guess it's kind of discipline, right? And it's like Satan is a belt to spank somebody. I don't know. But there is that verse. In very limited circumstances, that happens. 1 Corinthians 5:5. And God limits the ability of Satan to tempt also. Like in Job. Right? In Job, we'll get to that in a little bit. God always provides a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If we want to go that way. And that way always involves a cross. The way out is the cross. It's like submitting to his will. Like Jesus was saying in this passage, as we'll see, not my will, but yours be done. He was like, I don't desire the cup. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's a cross. So the way out of temptation is always the cross, your will. God can keep us from temptation. He has in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we're praying about our temptation. The Lord teaches us these ways to avoid temptation. He teaches us the steps that lead to temptation. Our own desires, we're drawn away from Him, from His plan, from His will. We're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. And then desire is conceived. We begin to entertain whatever desire that is, whatever thought that is, that's against His will. We entertain that. It's conceived. And it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Every time, there's like a death. And so He teaches us, and did the tree of knowledge of good and evil make Eve sin? No. But it was bad, that tree. It was not good. That don't eat that tree, right? Was it the tree's fault? No. Satan, he had a lot to do with it. He had a lot to do with it, right? But was it Satan's fault? Yes, but if you're looking at Eve, no, right? And maybe it doesn't come across well to us. Because we like to blame everything on something else or Satan or somebody else. And Adam was responsible too, but it wasn't his fault when it came to Eve. He had his own responsibility, but when it came to Eve, it wasn't his fault. And God always wants people to avoid temptation. That's why He said, pray, lead us not into temptation. And also, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And see, what does Jesus' suffering or the cross have to do with their temptation? It was the work of God. God was doing a work. The move in the direction that God was going, they were tempted to go in a different direction. Right? So, like, we need to be sensitive to the direction and the move that God is going. And speaking of like the tree, Satan, Adam, but not one thing in our circumstances can make us sin, because God said He provides a way out. So you could have had the worst father in anybody's life, the worst wife, the worst husband, been poor as dirt and not had any money. And none of those circumstances can ever make you sin. Not the tree, not the devil. If the devil with 1,000 demons could not make you sin. Because it says God provides a way out. How about this one? Kind of like, God put me in these circumstances. His providential circumstances. I'm here because of Him. It's God's fault. Nobody's ever thought that way. Not directly. Indirectly? Anybody ever kind of felt like it's God allowed me to be here, and if it weren't for me being born into this family, I would, you know, like whatever. You know, it could be something out of my control. It's God's fault. No, no. Psalm 5:4, there's no evil in Him. God cannot be tempted, and God cannot tempt. In Job 1:10, Satan argued about Job, and he said, He serves you because you protect him. All he has is in your power, is what God said. Take everything, but don't touch him. And Job did well. And then Satan came back again. He said, if you touch his body, he'll curse you. And God said, you can touch him, but don't take his life. And God allowed an innocent man to be tempted to prove the power and grace of redemption. And here's the weird thing. in the angelic conflict, he proved it. Like, Job glorified God in the angelic conflict and didn't even know why. Isn't that kind of wild? But, like, God is, like, glorified. God, and all the other angels were like, yes, our God is awesome. Look at him. And look at Job. He's the Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. Right? That's what Job said. Let it be written on a rock with an iron pen. This is permanent stuff. I know my Redeemer lives, and I will stand with him in the last day. I know. And the angels, like, it glorified God, and Job didn't know why at the time. He didn't know what was going on. God limits Satan's ability to tempt and always provides a way for man to get out of temptation. James 1:15 again. Then, when desire has conceived and it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So a man is tempted when he is drawn away or enticed with his own lust. But that word isn't just lust. It's like desire or will. It's different from the regular word lust. It's desire or will. When desire, a great desire of the will, not necessarily a physical appetite type desire, but it could be, is conceived. Then drawn away by a great desire of his will, he commits sin. And after it's finished, it always yields death. So, like, just think of something little. Like, there's something that God has told us not to entertain. Say it's on, just for sake of argument. Nobody ever does this or has this problem, but just say for sake of argument, it's on the phone. Right? So you got your phone. Don't entertain that. And then you pick up the phone, you entertain it. And then you get up out of your chair and you're spiritually dead. Like, that's kind of simple analogy, right? But you could think of a million other analogies, and probably everybody has sinned in their life. And what Pastor Christian Diaz, if he didn't come for his other messages, after that, confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confession is very good, right? Yeah, you make yourself available to something wrong, you cooperate with it, and then you have death. And this comes from a temptation, and it comes from not watching and praying. It said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So back to watching and praying. Do you think God would like it if somebody was watching in the middle of the night and began to pray for the widows? Like, the widows, like, just had a heart and a burden. Like, this is like something that needs prayer. Or families, like, families won't be broken. Like, they'll stay intact. Like, to pray for that. Is Satan attacking families today? Yeah, big time. Like, we need to pray. We need to watch and pray. He's after the home. He's after marriages. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation, it doesn't mean just not go out and live in sin. It's a desire for something other than the cross. Jesus was like he was in the Father's will. He was praying, and he was alert, and he knew it was happening spiritually around him. He knew something was coming, and he was praying. And the others weren't watching. They weren't alert. They didn't know the cross was coming. They didn't know. So watch and pray. And I was thinking, like, as an individual, as a church, like, to be watching, to have other people watching for us, like, isn't that good? Like, to think maybe somebody's watching, Maybe somebody is spiritually attuned to what I'm going through and they're praying for me. Like, that's really cool. And like, maybe we're watching and we're spiritually attuned to what somebody else is going through and we're praying for them. And maybe like we're watching, but watching doesn't mean we know what circumstance they're in, but we're watching and we sense something spiritual is going on and we're praying. Even though we don't know why, we're like, something spiritual is going on. They need prayer. And the disciples, you think about this. Like, first, we watch our relationship toward God. Like, that's number one. Like, he's going to the cross, a relationship with him. The disciples would never have this opportunity again. They had a chance. They had an opportunity. In Jesus' deepest need to be with him and be praying for him. And they missed it. They missed it. And like, we have a chance, and like the body of Christ, individuals in the body of Christ, this church, Culpeper County, like the spiritual things that are going on, we have a chance to watch, to be alert, to be attuned. Like, something's going on, or God wants to move this way. God's doing something over here, or God's doing something over here, or yes. And many times, anybody ever pray and like, as you pray, you're like, yeah, like, I didn't know that, but I just started praying and then I hit on this and this is good. Like, God wants me to pray for this, you know. Let the cross give you a burden for what God has a burden for widows, for what God has a burden for. And so watch. What does it mean, watch? Like, not to be passive or careless, right? Maybe, like, we could just not be a bad person. I'm not a bad person, but maybe I'm just not spiritual. You know, you could be, like, being moral, being good, but still not be in tune, not be alert to what God has. Lost opportunities. We lose enough of them. Hey, Joe, can you hang up that phone, please? Or step outside? Just hang it up, Joe. We lose enough opportunities, right? So maybe this is a really important point right here. Maybe it is. Like, we lose enough opportunities, let's not lose more, right? Like, think of that. And not passive or careless about praying for families, watching. When we sat down and David began to speak, were we watching? Were we paying attention? Like, not, what does David have to say that I can write 4 points down on, or how, five, was it? 5 points down on. And remember that acronym. What was the acronym?
As the Bum Bum.
Yeah, and remember, as the Bum Bum. Like, not necessarily that, but like, what does God want to say to me, right? Like, he was talking about the meditation on the word. Like, what does God want to say to me? When you sat down and started listening to David, were you alert? We're like, maybe God's going to talk. Let me listen. Or like, be praying. God, well, whatever you want to say to me, like, here I am. Watch, not passive. And so I was thinking about driving. So when you're driving, do you watch the road? Most of the time, right? But even if you don't, even if you look off, you look back, right? You look back on the road. Even if you're distracted, you're not so careless. You're paying enough attention that you look back. You know, hey, look at that deer. Oh, let me look back. So we keep looking back and like, because why? Because we're driving. It's important, right? So spiritually, like, spiritually driving is important too. Like we need to to not be passive or careless. So if you start falling asleep while you're driving, do we just say, oh, well, I just give up. I'll go on to sleep. No, it's important. We're like, oh, smacking our face, rolling the window down, turning the air conditioner up, turning the radio on. And one of the things we say is what Jesus said, watch and pray with me. Like, I think it was Esther went to Massachusetts, and the guy said, okay, but all y'all have to stay awake with me. If I'm going to be driving through the night, y'all have to stay awake with me. And they agreed because he was serious. He didn't want to fall asleep, right? So, like, you ask somebody else to watch with you. And how many times people, I'm sure it never happened to you while you're driving, but when you were a passenger and somebody else were driving, you're like, hey, wake up. You know, you're going off the road. You know, yeah, it's happened, right? And so it's good to have people watching with you. Watch with you. Like, tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, wake up. Go ahead. Wake up. Wake up. Like, spiritually wake up, right? Listen, what does God have for us? What does God have for us? Wake up. Let's wake up. And watch and pray. And not be passive and careless about, like, driving. And what's the place we can get the most passive? Like, when we come here, we want to be welcomed. We're at home. We want to relax and not have a care in the world, right? And that's like at home. At home, we can be the most passive, right? It's very easy. Like, this is where I live. I can kick back, drink some tea or whatever, and, you know, like, eat, take a nap. Go to bed when I want. You know, it's just like we can get relaxed, and it's good in a way, right? Physically, it's good. But spiritually, let's not get relaxed at home. Let's not get relaxed at home. Let's not get relaxed in the church or places that we're physically comfortable in. It's heavy. Watch and pray. Maybe there's a heavy spirit, a spirit of heaviness in Culpeper that would, like, take your attention off of the spiritual things going on, like, take you to sleep to where you're just not listening and not hearing what God has for us. And I think I've used this analogy before. You're spiritually, well, I'll skip that. It's getting a little late. I'll wrap this up. How about watching for good? Anybody out ever at the beach? Somebody saw a dolphin and he's looking for another dolphin. You know, you're watching for good. Anybody ever fish with a bobber? Or put your pole in the salt water and watch the tip of it, you know? Never. Anybody ever put your pole in the salt water and not watch the tip of it and you lose the fish? Or the freshwater, you tell, especially little kids, you know, their train of thought's not good. You'd be like, oh, you got a bite. And the bobber was all the way down, and now it's back up. You're like, all right, too late. You got to watch. You got to keep watching that bobber. You know, good things. We're watching. We're watching for good things, an important phone call or a text. Like, you don't want to miss it. Like, I'm going to miss my ride or whatever. Your text that you're going to miss. A message. Like, listening to message for something good for you. The rapture. We're watching. We're waiting. We want it to come, right? Come, Lord, come. And again, a second time, verse 42, he went away and prayed, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. If not, keep it coming. Your will be done. Like, that is a prayer, right? Hard times, you say, Lord, please get me out of this hard time. But Lord, if you want me to go through this hard time for some reason, I don't even know. Maybe it's for the angelic conflict. I don't know why. Maybe it's to teach me something. I don't know. But Lord, your will be done. That's an amazing prayer. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. The demons were able to make them sleep, like pull them under, And the same demons came upon Jesus, but they couldn't pull Jesus under. Because he was about the Father's will, right? He's like, Father, nevertheless, your will be done. But the disciples were not. They were distracted. So he left them. He went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Even when he came and spoke to them twice, they went back to sleep. Yeah, it was heavy. It was heavy. Get up and take notice of spiritual things. Anybody ever been in bed and like either you're under attack or God's kind of show you something and like you just keep, you're like pull under and then you wake up again and pull under. Sometimes you need to get up, go turn the light on and start praying or read your Bible and like focus on God. Like, because that heaviness will take you under. Then he came and his disciples said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Where did he go? The betrayer is at hand. Did he go that way? No, he's like, let us be going right to the cross. And like, so he didn't tell the, at that point, the disciples to dwell on their failure. He's like, rise, let us be going. He never let failure corrupt your joy of going forward, right? Let's go forward. And then at Pentecost and after Pentecost, they were all with one accord, waiting on the Holy Spirit. They were watching spiritually and praying. They didn't know what was going to happen, right? And then great things happened. Like 3,000 people got saved. And watch and pray for outreach. Even if you don't come. Like be spiritually attuned to what's going on and pray. And in Acts, many were receiving Christ. So Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So like this week, this year, the rest of our lives, just like pay attention, like spiritually, what's going on. And sometimes, I'll just give a little testimony. Like we have no idea. One of my dogs is asphyxiated with the other dogs and I can't train it. So I was like, I'm gonna take it to the park and do some training over there. And my whole mind is, I'm gonna do some training. And I stop and I pull up and there's this guy with a fishing pole as I'm getting the dog out. And he's just kind of standing there almost like not really putting the pole back in. And I was like, hey, you know, what do you catch out here? And we started this conversation about fishing. And next thing you know, I handed him a Bible verse I had in my pocket. He was like, oh, man, I needed that. That's just what I needed. He was going through a divorce. We prayed. He was crying. I mean, the Spirit was moving. And I was like, wow. I was coming to walk my dog. I should have been paying attention. Like, I wasn't going to talk to that guy. I had no clue about that guy, what was going on in his life. So then I started paying attention, and I met this 16-year-old kid on a bench, and that was an amazing encounter. I never really got to walk my dog much, but I was paying attention. You know, anyway, so just pay attention. You never know what God has for you, even when it's not reading your Bible or, you know, Saturday at 11 o'clock or whatever, you know, like just pay attention as you're walking, like pay attention spiritually. God has something for you moment by moment. He has something for you. Yeah. Lord, thank you for today. This is your day. We rejoice and be glad in it. And we just like to offer, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he did go to the cross. He did the Father's will. And he died and he paid for your sin. And just call on him. Call on Jesus and ask him to forgive you for your sins. And he rose again from the dead. And we just pray that as we go this week that we can pay attention, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.